Thank you, Phil, for leading the service. That is very much appreciated. I don't have the flu. If I had the flu, I would not be here. When you get the flu, you're laid aside. I don't have man flu, because if I had man flu, I wouldn't be here either. I have a cold, and it's affecting my throat. Just ask you to pray that the Lord will help me to get through. Don't often take it, but there you go. I take my vitamins, and they really help, they do. And not only have the vitamins, but I have, you know, that day and night nurse. I just hope I took the day one before I came. If you see me wilting and my eyes closing and falling over the pulpit, you'll know I got the blue ones and not the ones I should have taken. Was my desire at some stage, maybe after the missionary weekend and prayer week was over, to go and visit our brother pastor Eugene Groza, just to be an encouragement to him. He has been battling for some time now, many, many months, with cancer, and slowly just going downhill. Recent times he has been in a lot of pain, and he's been in hospital for 4 or 5 days. And Dr. Barnes rang on Friday morning to see if maybe I would go with him sometime next week. And we looked at the possibility and got some flights booked. So we hope to go out tomorrow evening and come back Thursday evening and just spend a little bit of time with God's servant. Remember Mahila and the family in prayer too in this difficult time, that the Lord will be with them. Our thoughts are with our own folks that are sorrowing and suffering. We have those who have passed away that we knew just in the past week, and we think of Sally particularly. Our thoughts are with Griffith and his family circle, and Pat as well, Pat Hamilton. Jim died very, very suddenly on Tuesday night, just taken out so quickly, and our thoughts are with Pat and her family. They came here for a little time also in the past, and the sick ones. Remember Francie. For years Francie has not enjoyed a good quality of life, and he has been taken into hospital, and this weekend he hasn't been at all well. We do pray for his recovery and strength to be given to him, and for help to Isabel and the family as they encourage their loved one in the Lord. Turning to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Want to speak on living a successful life. There is such a thing. And I believe we have the answer here. In this chapter of the Word of God, we're going to read the opening 9 verses. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. We'll bow together briefly in prayer, looking to the Lord for his help and grace. Once again, Lord, we thank thee for the open book. We praise thee for the scriptures that the Lord has given. We believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we thank thee that what we have in our hands this day is the book that God has given, moving holy men of old and times past to write down his words. We praise thee that we can come to this book, therefore, with confidence. From Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation, we can say that what is in this volume is indeed the words that God has given. And we thank thee that the word of God, though written by holy men in ancient times, is up to date. It's a word that never fails. It's a word that never goes out of date. We thank thee that it is settled forever. We pray that thou wilt bring to our hearts your truth with freshness and power. We pray that thou wilt minister to us by the Holy Spirit. And to this end, give me the grace and the needed power and wisdom to bring the message today. Help us, Lord, to glorify God in Jesus' name. Amen. For a text, I want to direct your attention to the line that we have at the end of verse 8. Then thou shalt have good success. And we're thinking about living a successful life. And of course, in the context, and for your benefit and mine, we're thinking about living a successful Christian life. Men measure success in various ways. Success will mean a whole lot of different things to a whole lot of people. The world at large is aiming for a successful life, to prosper, to advance, to get on in life, to achieve, to be happy. You can have a successful education and do your best in school and university and even further training, and you can say, yes, I've had a very successful training and schooling in my life. You can have a successful occupation, get into the job, and not only do well at what you're doing, but enjoy what you're doing also and call it a great success. You can have success in business, building something from relatively nothing to something that is a great empire. You can have success in a sporting career, and how many desire to become one of the great icons in the sports arena, whether it's in football or rugby or some other sport. You can have success in marriage, and those of us that are married, we ought to aim for a successful marriage and to live the way that we ought to live, husband and wife, and bring up our family in the right way. And leading on from that, we can have a successful home and be blessed as a family. Now, these are the things that men crave after. To be successful, it's their dream. It's their aspiration. It's their objective, their goal in life, their end all and be all. But these things by themselves are temporal, earthly, and fleeting. There are things that are more important. Having your health is more important. And I think the longer I live and I'm in the ministry and do my work as a pastor, I see that to be so. And so many of us have visited sick beds and we have been with those that are diseased and passing through really difficult times as far as their bodily health is concerned. So having your health is a wonderful blessing. Being saved is infinitely more important than anything else. That is true success. That is success spiritually and eternally. To be able to say before God, it is well with my soul. I am hidden in Christ. My sins are forgiven. I stand before God as one that is pardoned freely by the blood of Christ. Yes, I'm saved. And then, of course, thereafter, living a successful Christian life, a life that is honoring to God, glorifying to Christ, promoting the gospel, shining spiritually, reaching others with the gospel message. That is true success. Now, of course, the world does not see it this way. Unless you're making money and gaining promotion and accumulating more and more of this world's goods and reaching higher targets, well, then you're not successful. But true success is success in the eyes of God. Walking moment by moment in fellowship with Him. Communing day by day with the Savior. Breathing the very atmosphere of heaven itself. That is true success. And then the other things that we've mentioned that are physical and temporal and earthly, they will fall into their proper place. Never forget the exhortation of Christ in Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But the question is, how can I live a successful Christian life? I believe the answer, among other places, is here in this reading in Joshua chapter 1. Moses, a servant of the Lord, is dead. His successor, he who had been set apart by the Lord, has taken over the responsibilities of leadership. And I refer to Joshua. Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea, and then through the 40 years of the wilderness experience with all the varied circumstances that that entailed. He's brought them right to the borders of the promised land. But his work is done, and God calls him home. Joshua is appointed to lead the Israelites through Jordan into the promised land to take possession of their God-given heritage. And he needed help. He needed encouragement for this work. There were mammoth tasks and duties before him. He could make a failure. If you want to know the kind of a man that he was, just glance back into the previous book, the last chapter of Deuteronomy, and mark the opening line of verse 9. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. That's the kind of a person he was. And God gives him direction, as he will give to all of his people direction in life. And so when you come into this book that bears his name, we read there in verse 2 that God says, "My servant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." And then the Lord gives some wonderful promises, like we go on to read in the next verse. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast." Tremendous promises, I'm sure you will agree. Every place that you stand upon, every area of the land that you walk upon, I will give it to you. Other promises and directives follow. And in these, we see the road to a successful Christian life. And I'm sure it is the desire of every Christian here to live that way. And so let me set before you what the Scripture is teaching us here for true success, so that we can say, then thou shalt have good success. The first thing that we need is a realization of the presence of God. The Lord gave this guarantee in verse 5 to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. As Joshua comes to fulfill the calling of God in his life, he is assured of the presence of God. As I was with Moses, to direct him, to strengthen him, to support him, to prosper him, and to give him success in bringing Israel out of Egypt and leading him through the desert to the borders of the promised land, so will I be with thee, to enable you to settle Israel in the land of Canaan. This promise is repeated again. You may have noticed it in the 9th verse, just there at the end. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. No matter where the servant of the Lord went, the presence of God would be there. Now, the presence of God would never be withdrawn. Moses had assured him of this before his death. If you go back into Deuteronomy to the 31st chapter, mark what it says from verse 6 onwards. We find that the children of Israel are gathered together, and there are exhortations here for them, and particularly for Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it, as the Lord, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Though Moses must leave him, and he did, the Lord would not leave him. And I'm sure that Joshua felt his weakness, his inability, his shortcomings in comparison to Moses. You think of the grace, the courage, the wisdom, the authority that Moses had. Think of what we read in Deuteronomy 34, this last chapter, the conclusion of the life of Moses, his death, and now this statement that the Lord makes concerning Moses in verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And I'm sure that Joshua felt small and insignificant in comparison. But here is the pathway to success, the Lord's presence. Here's something that the younger Joshua must learn. What Moses did was done by virtue of the presence of God with him. And though Joshua may not have been the man that Moses was, yet if he had with him the same presence of God, he would do well also. This is what made the great men of the Bible great. Brought them success, true success in the eyes of God. You think of Jacob, way back in Genesis chapter 28, having to flee from his brother Esau. That night when he stopped off in Bethel and he had the dream of the ladder that reached unto heaven. And in the midst of that, he saw the Lord and he heard from God. And the Lord said to him in verse 15, having given some gracious promises, behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken. to thee off. I am with thee. I will not leave thee. What a comfort that must have been to Jacob that night and as he continued in the journey. What a promise must have stayed with him through those years until the Lord brought him back again into the land of Israel. The same can be said of Jacob's son Joseph. When we come to Genesis chapter 39, things had gone ill with Joseph. He has been sold by his brothers, sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites take him down to Egypt. They sell him on into the house of Potiphar. But the Lord was there, as we read in chapter 39 and verse 3. In fact, verse 2 also, let's read from verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. It's a wonderful thing to have the Lord with you, and to have the assurance of this promise that God gives to all of his children. And the Lord was with Joseph in the midst of these dire circumstances. And that was a great blessing. And of course, Joseph knew that and sensed that, but so did the ungodly. And here in the house of Potiphar, as Potiphar watches on, he saw the Lord was with him. And even when he was brought down in the midst of the lies to prison, the Lord was still there. As we know from verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, was with Joseph. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called by the Lord to be a prophet. He was called in a very difficult day, and he was called to a very difficult task. If we had to choose any particular period of Israel in which to minister unto that people, we would not have chosen the days of Jeremiah. The people were going to be antagonistic against the Word of God. They were going to be antagonistic against the prophet of God. There was everything that was going to make him afraid. The very faces of the people would terrify him in natural circumstances. And as Jeremiah is called, you remember how he felt his weakness? I'm just a child. But the Lord comes to encourage him. And one of the ways in which he did it was the promise of his presence. And this is what he said in Jeremiah 1 and verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And that's reiterated right there at the end of the chapter again, as the Lord is speaking to him, seeking to encourage him, telling him of how the kings and the princes and the priests and the people of the land would be against him. Look at the last verse. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Can I give you one other example from the life and the ministry of the great apostle Paul? In Acts chapter 18, he has come to the city of Corinth. He's having difficult times in that city. Some blessing as well, as souls were being saved, but it was a time when Paul was facing opposition and people were blaspheming the name of the Lord and of Christ. And so the Lord appears to him. We are told about it here in Acts chapter 18. And this is what he had to tell him in verse 10. For I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. My dear Christian friends, the way to success in the Christian life is to have this conscious sense. The Almighty God who was with these men in the Bible is still with his people today. And the psalmist was able to say, as we all can, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. To the people of God, in every age, God has promised his presence. And before returning to the right hand of his Father, Jesus said, I am with thee, right until the end of the world. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. If you want to live a truly successful life, get to know and sense and appreciate the Lord with you. Now, we're all different. We have our strengths and We have our weaknesses. We have our various abilities and callings. Not everybody is a Moses, and not everybody is a Joshua. Not everyone is a Jacob or a Joseph or a Jeremiah or a Paul, but we have the same presence. And we can be successful in everything that God appoints for us to do. And this is a great comfort and encouragement to us all. The same grace that was sufficient for those that have gone before us is sufficient for us today. And to have the mighty presence of God with you, what a wonder that is. How good it is to know the Lord is there every day. He's there not only at the beginning of the journey, but he's there all the way through the journey, right to the end. The conscious sense of the presence of God will help us to make a success, a true success of the Christian life, to know that he is beside me. But secondly, as we look at Joshua 1, I point you to the sixth verse. There is an occupation of God's possession. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. There was an inheritance. There was a land. Joshua's work would not be in vain. He would fulfill and accomplish all that God intended him to do. In occupying the promised land, there would be a river to cross. You know the history, the great river of Jordan that they had to get across. There would be battles to fight. The sooner are they across Jordan than they have to face Jericho and then other cities, other kings, other battles that they had to fight. And there would be sin to deal with. The sin that came into the camp, namely that of Achan. Successful Christian living and entails entering into the inheritance that the Lord has purchased for you. And God has a wonderful provision for us in Christ, blessings for us to enjoy. And he is also, in a spiritual sense, ground for us to take for him. Occupy until I come, says the Savior. And we ought to be marching in these days as the Lord's people. May God bless the witness that we make for him, wherever we are. May God bless the outreach and the evangelism that we seek to do, the door-to-door ministry, the home mission, the open-air work. May God bless the efforts that we make in this house on our family nights and the missions that we hold, and the gospel meetings every Sunday night too. I wonder, have you got a vision for the Lord today? To occupy, to gain territory for him in your family, among your friends, in this town of Ballymoney. Are you gaining ground? Are you entering into the inheritance? Are you claiming ground for God? Let us not be slack in it. It's possible to be slack. Later on in chapter 18, verse 3 of this book, you will discover that some of the tribes are not settled yet in their inheritance. There were seven tribes, in fact, had not inherited their possession. And the Lord had a warning through Joshua for them, be not slack. We're not to be slack in this, men and women. There may be obstacles. We don't know the rivers that we have to cross that will prove to be great obstacles to us in God's work. There may be battles to fight. We will have our Jerichos. We will have the great battles to fight. And we will have sin to deal with, our own sin to deal with particularly. But let's occupy. Let's lift up our eyes and see the teeming multitudes. Let's not see them as just as trees walking, as one of the miracles of Christ paints that picture before our eyes. Sometimes we have used it in gospel terms that our vision is not what it ought to be. Our sight is a little bit blurry and misty. We don't really fully understand the awful destiny of the souls of men around us. We don't want to just see them as men walking like trees around us. We want to see them clearly. and all their lostness and their undoneness before God. To live successfully is to enter the inheritance. Look at verse 7 of Joshua 1. There is an observation of God's principles. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God has given his law. He's given the law in the first five books of the Bible. Deuteronomy is the second edition of the law, collecting together those laws that had already been given by God. And here we have to observe the law of God. Joshua must obey. He was a great man, undoubtedly, of power and authority. And yet he must be under command, under the directives and dictates of God's word. Joshua must not only make sure that the people observe the law, but he himself must observe it. Note, he must do what was written. Not enough to hear the word. It's not enough to read it or even admire it. It's not enough to commend it to other people. It's not enough to know it and remember it and talk about it. We must do the word. The very same thought that James takes up in the New Testament when he says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And then he must do according to what is written. Exactly. Observing the law as his copy. And he must do according to all that was written, without exception, without reservation. He must have a respect to all of God's commandments, even those that were displeasing to the flesh. You know how it is sometimes God has given his word, he's given his law, and as Christians we can accept this better than maybe other parts of it, and some Christians will say, "Well, I'll obey this, but I'm not going to obey this other part of the law of God." If he's going to be successful, if you're going to be successful, you must do all the law. And then you'll notice also he must observe to do. Observe means to be careful. It means to be diligent. It means to be thoughtful and to remember. In other words, carefully observe the law of God. And then he must not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. He must plow straight on with God in his law, in his word. The word of God bears testimony to Joshua's obedience. Later on in this book, in the 11th chapter and verse 15, halfway through it says, "So did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." That's the way to live. There can be no success in the Christian life without obedience to God. Way back in Exodus chapter 19, as laws were being given to the ancient people of God, and very soon the Ten Commandments in a very formal, official way would be given in the 20th chapter. This is what we read in Exodus 19 and verse 5. "If ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." To be God's peculiar treasure. And I see there the blessing of God resting upon the people of Israel. What was the condition? The condition was obedience, if you obey. And that is so for Christians today. We think of a New Testament equivalent. We've mentioned James to you. And over there in James chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." That is success, isn't it? Very quickly, look at verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1. There must be meditation in God's precepts. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The word of God was vital. Joshua was to meditate in God's truth. And meditate, you know, it means more than just read. It means to study. It means to ponder over the word. It means to understand it, to chew it over in your mind, to feed upon it, to inwardly digest it, to live by it. It's a good thing to read the Bible. We do commend the reading of the Bible to God's people. Sometimes our reading is careless and thoughtless, it must be said. I wonder, do you remember what you read this morning? I'm sure as the Lord's people, you read the word before coming to the house of God. Do you remember how weak we are, you know, in remembering the law? But if we meditate upon it and we chew it over in our mind again and again, it's something we're going to remember. We need to be students of the book. And this study of the Bible was to be continuous. It was to be daily, in fact, night and day. Never be too busy to study the Bible. Some Christians say they haven't time. But you make time. If ever a man had an excuse not to study, it was Joshua. You think of this man. If ever a man's business might excuse him from meditation, it was this man. He was the leader of Israel. But he must find time and thoughts for biblical contemplation. No matter how busy we are, no matter what affairs press upon us, no matter what urgent business we feel we have to attend to, we must not neglect the one needful thing, and that is meditating in the Word. The blessed man of Psalm 1 delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. David said in the Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." If I am to be a happy, successful, prosperous Christian in this life, I'm going to be found in this book, meditating upon it. It feeds my soul. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. It guides me. It's that lamp to my feet and light to my path. It's a mighty weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God. It has power to save. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Meditating upon the word, inwardly digesting it, allowing its precepts to sink in, getting a working knowledge of the scriptures will lend itself to a successful life with God. The last little thought you'll see there from the announcement sheet is verse 9, a recognition of God's power. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You'll notice that this is the third time in the space of these few lines that this exhortation is given. It's back there in verse 6 and also in verse 7. The strength that Joshua was to have was not mere human strength and resolve. It was derived from the fact that there was an almighty God who was with him everywhere he went. No foe would be able to stand against him successfully. That's what you read there in the opening part of verse 5. The enemy would not make headway against him all the days of his life. Matthew Henry said, "There is no standing before those who have God on their side." If God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is, not one. Success in the Christian life means trusting day by day in divine omnipotent power to live the Christian life. It means being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Brothers and sisters, I believe this is the way that God has marked out in his word for you and I to have true success before him in this life. May the Lord help us to give attention to these things and to live by them for Jesus' sake. Let us pray.